And honored to be here. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to turn first to the book of John. This will be real simple. Simple preaching. More simple than I usually do, but you'll see this in a moment. I want you to look at one verse, and I'm going to read John 21, verse 25. And we're going to read that. And I'm going to pray, and then right after I pray over the message, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7 in a moment. We're going to preach from Luke chapter 7, but I want to show you some things here. John 21, verse 25. The Bible says, "And there are also, notice, many other things which Jesus did." Okay? "The which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. I'm happy I know what Jesus did. Somebody say amen. But doesn't that make you think and wonder? Wonder what other things Jesus did that we don't even know about. I mean, I know he raised three people back to life. But I wonder now, after that verse, he might raise, probably did, raise more people back to life.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so, I look at this, and I see the amazing ministry of Jesus Christ. There are also many, many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let me make one more statement, and we're going to pray. Now, I believe that what we do know is what the Holy Ghost wants us to know.
Amen. Amen.
What yes, we do know from Mark 2, the men tearing the hole in the roof, I'm glad that's in the Bible.
Amen.
If that little story wasn't in the Bible, I don't know what us young preachers would preach sometimes. You know, carrying the man is easy preaching. And I'm glad that Jesus calming the storm.
Yes.
I'm glad that's in the Bible. Peace be still. There's a great calm. And then Jesus walking on the water. These stories are amazing. I'm glad for what I do know. And so I want to title this morning. You'll see this when I get there in Luke chapter 7. "In times of discouragement, remember the widow of Nain." Okay? This will be found in Luke 7, but I want to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great occasion to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm asking God for a fresh anointing upon our lives, a liberty to speak and preach. I feel like there's individuals here that need encouragement, that need to hear from you. And Lord, today we're going to talk about two back-to-back miracles, the centurion servant and then the widow of Nain, and how comparable they are. And how great you are, Lord. And there's somebody here right now, they feel like nobody knows or nobody understands their situation. I pray, God, that through the preaching, you will make yourself real to individuals in this house.
Lord.
Amen.
Do it, Lord.
Granted.
If you agree with this prayer, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to just preach one verse at a time and talk to you about these two back-to-back miracles. And the first, verse 1 down to verse 10 is going to deal with the centurion servant. And then verse 11 to verse 16 is going to talk to us about the widow at Nain. So let's look at this. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. "Now when he had ended all his sayings," this is Jesus. "Now when Jesus had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." All right, first, when it says he ended all his sayings, that's dealing with Jesus finishing the Sermon on the Mount. All right? And so he's finishing that. The Bible says he entered into Capernaum. Capernaum is a city, a place that's mentioned Lord Jesus did more miracles in Capernaum in our Bible than in any other location. All right? With that being said, it's not an exhausted list, but let me just mention some of the miracles and some things that Jesus did in Capernaum. Capernaum was a very popular place in the ministry of Christ. The miraculous catch of fish, the Sermon on the Mount, cast out an unclean devil. Remember that at the synagogue? He cast out an unclean devil. Peter's mother-in-law, on that particular day when he cast out the devil, he came right to Peter's house where his mother-in-law had a fever. He healed her. And after that, I made mention of them tearing a hole in the roof. That happened in Capernaum. Jesus was there. They lowered that one man down that was paralyzed, if you will. Then after that, the woman with the issue of blood, that happened in Capernaum. Jesus raises a girl, Jairus' daughter, back to life. That happened in Capernaum. Jesus heals two blind men. That happened in Capernaum. Jesus heals a dumb demoniac. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. Remember that? They criticized him because it was the Sabbath day. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. And the Bible says, he tells Peter to go fishing. And the first fish you catch, how many of you men like to go fishing and catch some money? Catch a fish for money? I would. He caught this fish, had money in his mouth. But Jesus told Peter, go pay your taxes, all right? And then Jesus tells him he's the bread from heaven. Now I point that out because in a moment, the next miracle is going to be in name. And I'm going to compare. There's a reason why I labored the point Capernaum. And so he enters into Capernaum. He's back in Capernaum. And the first thing we learn in verse 2, soon as Jesus comes back into this place, he's done more miracles in our Bible than anywhere else. The Bible says in verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. I want to point that out, that the Bible says he's a centurion. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's a Roman soldier, and being a centurion, he has at least 100 soldiers underneath him. He's a centurion. And it's strange to me, but I learned more about this. He had a centurion servant who was sick, near unto death, ready to die. Mm-hmm. And now, a widow, in a moment, her son's going to die. But this man here, he's ready to die. You understand? He's at a point ready to die. And the centurion is not even a Hebrew, not even a Jew. He's got the centurion servant that's ready to die. And the Bible says in verse 3, when he heard of Jesus, hallelujah, that ought to make you shout right there. But this centurion, not a Hebrew, not a Jew, but then when this Roman centurion heard of Jesus, no doubt. I know what Jesus did in Capernaum, but there's no telling what all this Roman centurion has heard Jesus do. Yeah. I know he's probably heard about Jesus casting out devils. He's probably heard about Jesus turning water into wine. He's probably heard about Jesus raising somebody paralyzed back to life. And he's not even a Jew, but he heard that Jesus came back to Capernaum. Hallelujah. How many of you here today would like to have a visitation of Jesus Christ in the house of God? Somebody say praise the Lord. Jesus came back to Capernaum. I'm glad that Jesus isn't just one and done. He'll come back. He'll come back. He'll come back. Brother, sister, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is in the house.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. He heard of Jesus. As soon as he knew that Jesus was back in Capernaum, he sent unto him, now this is wonderful here, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal a servant. I'll explain myself in a moment. He doesn't go himself. He sends the elders of the Jews. And the Bible tells us how he had a good relationship with the elders of the Jews. But it's amazing to me, brother, that when you read this, that the Bible said these elders of the Jews, they're going to go to Jesus on his behalf.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
How many like to have friends pray for
you? Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody knows, hey, this centurion, he's got a friend ready to die. And Jesus come back into town, and they're going to go to Jesus on his behalf. Pray for me. Beseeching him that he would come and heal a servant. So here goes the elders of the Jews. They go to Jesus on the behalf of the Roman centurion. And verse 4, I'm hurrying. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm guilty of that to a point. How many people that I pray for, a pastor, a friend, a family member, they're faithful to God. They've been serving God. They've been doing this and that in the church. You pray for them. You say, Lord, they've been pastoring now for 40 years.
Yeah.
They've been faithful in the church for 30 years. They're worthy of this. Come on.
Yes.
It's like you're telling God all the things you know about this individual. Somebody say amen.
Yeah, amen.
And so that's what they were doing here. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Yes. He's not a Jew. He's a Roman centurion. Yeah. And most of the Romans are against the Jews, and the Jews hate the Romans. But in this situation, they like this man.
Yeah.
Help me preach.
Yeah, come on.
That he was worthy to whom he should do this. The Bible says, verse 5, this is amazing. He loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And I wonder if this is a synagogue that Jairus is ruler of. I don't know.
Yeah.
Possibility, right? I can't say definite. But number one, the Bible says that this centurion, he loved our nation. He may be a proselyte already given in. Instead of serving the idols of Rome, he may have been in Jerusalem and through the miracles of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Seeing everything that Jesus has done, he fell in love with the Jewish people and built them a synagogue. I know this. Him being a Roman centurion, a Gentile, he couldn't go. If he went to Jerusalem, he couldn't go into the temple. But the synagogue, at least he can go in and listen to somebody like Jairus and teach the word of God. And brother, I'm glad when I read this, he loved the nation of Israel. He built them a synagogue. And my point's going to be, I'm going to fill this in now because I want you to know where I'm getting ready to go. These elders of the Jews, they liked him. These elders of the Jews were trying to tell Jesus, come and heal this man, and I'm glad for all this friendship and kindness, but in a moment, you're going to see a widow woman that has nobody going to Jesus, but Jesus just knows this woman needs a miracle. And brother, you may be here today, feel like nobody cares, nobody knows, but Jesus loves you and wants to help you today.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, hallelujah.
Sir, brother Wynn.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Preach. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone smile.
Yeah, glory.
I don't know. I got to put my glasses on to make sure you are. Isn't this good? This is so good.
Yes.
He loved our nation and built us a synagogue.
Yes.
And the Bible said Jesus went with them. He went with them. They're in Capernaum. He went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, how far? I don't know.
How far?
50 yards, 100 yards. I don't know. But he wasn't far from the house. Here's the centurion sent friends to him and saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. He sends folks out, stops Jesus, getting ready to come to his house.
Uh-huh.
Everybody see this?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not worthy. Then he explains himself even more in verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. I didn't feel like I was worthy. That's what he thought of Jesus. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
That's what he thought of Jesus.
Yeah.
But then he says something, like I said in the book of John. I'm glad. I don't think Jesus did many other things. That's not recorded. I don't know what it was. But I'm glad that this verse right here is recorded in our Bible. The Bible said, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. In any place in the Bible, I'm glad that's in our Bible.
Yeah.
Amen? How many of you? Jesus, he doesn't have to be in that room. In other words, that centurion just believed. And he
lived on the time. Remember the Syrophoenician lady that had a vexed, a daughter that was vexed with the devil, and he didn't go to where that daughter was. He just said a word, and when that mama got home, that devil was gone, and there was victory in that house. And church, here today, you may have a son, you may have a daughter, you may have a family member that's not in the house of God, but you can speak and pray the prayer of faith. They may be in Tennessee, they may be in California, they may be in India, but Jesus Christ, you take that prayer of faith and do what it needs to do in a different location all together.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I was in, let me preach. I was in Kentucky, Monticello, Kentucky. And now I don't like services interrupted, but sometimes it's just right.
Yeah.
Can we preach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Then there's a need that arose right in the middle of the service. That a family had a daughter that was in Pennsylvania. It was on vacation or something. And they were driving through the state of Pennsylvania. And something happened where we don't know what happened. Where they had pulled over, the ambulance took her. She became unresponsive. And this lady ended up in the ICU. And they're still running tests. She's like a coma, unresponsive. But how many believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And through prayer, I believe this. The family sure believes this. And when we are praying, and you can check the hour, and when we're praying, God began to move. It's almost like in that service there was an assurance that God answered our prayer. Yes. And in moments the call came and everything was all right. Have we preached? Folks, we're going to get there someday. Sometime we're going to get there. When we can't get to that state, when we can't get to that family member, but yet we believe there's power in prayer. And I'm glad this is in the Bible. That centurion sent friends out. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But say a word. It may be 50 yards. It may be 100 yards. But you're going to see in a moment that Jesus Christ can just say a word. And that dead body can raise back to life. That cancer can be healed. That youngin can get help. Brother and sister, I believe in the power of prayer. Intercessory prayer. And you should too. I'm glad that Jesus Christ can answer our prayers. And just say a word.
Say the word. Yes, sir.
All right? Just verse by verse. And then he explains himself. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Notice this.
Yeah.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled.
Uh-huh.
And he marveled at him and turned him about. I mean, he's ever been blown away.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he turned him about, looked at the people that was there, and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Notice verse 10, and we'll preach on here in a moment. Verse 10 says, and they that were sent, returning Jesus, he didn't come to the house. The friends came out and said, trouble not yourself. He just saying a word. And Jesus, he marveled at the faith. He began to walk away from that house. But when these friends that were sent went back to the house where the Roman centurion and a servant was, the Bible says, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found a servant whole that had been sick. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Jesus just said the word, and those few steps, that's how quick God can move. Yes. I said, that's how fast God can move. Before they got back, they found that the servant. servant was whole. Whatever sickness he had was gone. And that man was healed because Jesus Christ is saying a word. And before I go on, I want to challenge you. Before this service is over, if you've got somebody in your family that needs a miracle, if you've got a son and daughter that's lost, God, through your prayer, Jesus Christ is saying a word. They can get saved today. They can get healed today. They can be delivered today through the power of prayer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me hurry. I'm doing real good on time. Hallelujah. I'm preaching. Hey, well, look at me. I'm preaching today in times of discouragement.
Yeah.
I want you to remember the widow of Nain. You see how popular the centurion was.
Yeah.
I mean, he had money.
Yeah.
To build a synagogue.
Yes.
He was wealthy.
Yes.
He had money. He had friends on the upper shelf of the Hebrew people. Come on now.
Yeah.
He was somebody. He was in Capernaum. There's no telling what all and how many times probably he witnessed at least Jesus Christ. Maybe he witnessed a miracle. He seen Jesus in the town, whatever. Here it was in Capernaum. But you see all these things I'm going to kind of compare. But when you go to the next story, this is back-to-back miracles, folks. Luke 7 starts out at verse 1. I read down at verse 10. But now let's look at verse 11. Help me preach, Lord.
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 11.
Yeah.
Luke 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after.
The day after.
The day after what?
The day after.
The day after Jesus healed the Roman centurion servant. The very next day. The day after that, what happened in Capernaum. Help me preach. The Bible said that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and most people. But the day after, he went into a city called Nain. Now, I don't know. I didn't count. I didn't count how many times Capernaum. Can I walk a little bit?
Yep.
Is it all right? Don't get nervous. All right. If I spit on you, don't think nothing about it. You need to preach and speak. It may be annoying.
Yeah, that's right.
It may not. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The next day, he went to a city called Nain. More miracles are mentioned in Capernaum than any other miracle that Jesus done. That city was very famous in the ministry of Christ. But the city of Nain, how many times is Nain mentioned? Oh, I feel like doing a cartwheel.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, just one time. Just one time.
One time.
This is my first time I preached in Silo Springs.
Right.
Yeah. This is war.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good to meet you. Hallelujah. You look like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Let me preach a minute.
Yeah.
First time I've been to the city of Nain.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it was the next day. You can Google this. From Capernaum to Nain, you know how many miles it was? I want to say 25, but you may read 21 to 25 miles.
Yeah.
And Jesus, the Bible said much people followed him. And so Jesus, for him to get to Capernaum, to Nain, he's going to have to do some walking.
Yeah.
And I read, if it was 25 miles, it's going to take a healthy man about 8 hours to walk 25 miles in one day.
Yeah.
And brother, I thought about staying over for Monday. Me and you can meet tomorrow morning about 7 o'clock. We can have a little breakfast and see if we can walk 25 miles. That's about the, what was that town? Rogers, Arkansas?
Yeah.
We can walk to Rogers, Arkansas tomorrow
and
try to be there by midnight.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Y'all got to see what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be easy. But he leaves Capernaum. It's going to take him many hours if he's going to get there the next day. Now, I want to point this out, too. He just proved in the chapter before he could say in a word.
Right.
Amen. But how many of you appreciate when I get there, how many of you going to appreciate that Jesus came in person?
Yeah. Amen.
How many of you appreciate He's going to come and walk all these hours. He's going to do this miracle in person. And brother, can I tell you that Jesus Christ, he's a very personable God. I mean, he wants to be here in person. In fact, we're two or three together in his name. He said, I will be there in your midst. And I believe that Jesus Christ, he's wanting to step in the arena today where you're fighting, where you're struggling, where you're struggling. And I believe Jesus Christ, he's wanting to step in your family. He's wanting to step in your house. He wants to step in your life. Hallelujah. Nobody may know that he's not here. Everybody's sitting for Jesus. But Jesus is known. And I believe there's somebody here. Nobody knows what you're going through. But Jesus is wanting to help you in a personal way. Lift you up. Encourage you. Change you. And help you for tomorrow. Brother and sister, I'm glad for a Savior that on time, every time.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, I guarantee you, I don't think Brother Jason's ready to walk with me. But Jesus, the Bible said, much people.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
I got to sit down here again. I'm sorry. Much people was with him. Why would people want to walk all these hours and miles with Jesus? You remember what the Bible says? Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good. Hallelujah. I know what I do know, but John says there's many more things that Jesus did that wasn't recorded. I wonder what possibly he could have did on that road from Capernaum to Nain. There might have been somebody like the widow, like the woman with issue of blood, touching his garment. I don't know, but I know this. If you walk with Jesus, there's no telling what you'll see coming from his ministry. And I'm glad to tell you today, I believe he's in the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Praise God.
Oh. Hallelujah. Notice this. The Bible says he's in the city of Nain. I'm almost done. I'll be done by 1 o'clock. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, come and preach.
Uh-huh.
Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people in the city was with her.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want to go back to something I already said. Folks, I know the first miracle was back to back. Somebody say, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's back to back. And, you know, I studied this in the past, and I'm referring this on memory. That in our Bible, there's 38 recorded miracles. There's 38 recorded miracles. And out of the 38 recorded miracles, about 18 of those miracles was requested. Something like here, the Roman centurion, the elders, it was requested. Something like Mary and Martha, when Lazarus was sick, there's a request.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like what I mentioned a moment ago, the Syrophoenician lady, it was request. I got a devil possessed or a vexed daughter of the devil. All these requests. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's somebody saying, Lord, I've got a problem, whether it be leprosy, and Lord, if you would make me clean. Amen. Cherish the daughter.
Yeah.
Come, raise her back to life. You understand my point?
Yes.
That the miracles that was requested, about 15. Woo! About 15 miracles. There was no request. It just seems like in the divine knowledge, omniscience of God, he just knew there was a problem, and here comes Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether it be a blind man sitting by the wayside out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, who is sinning. No, he didn't ask for healing. He just gave that man sight back. Hallelujah. My point is this. When you look at the ministry of Christ, I'm glad for all the miracles that was requested. Please heal me of leprosy. Please raise my family member back to life. But there's miracles like this one. They didn't send the elders of the Jews. They didn't send somebody important. They didn't know who Jesus was, maybe. And here comes Jesus, because he just knew, him being God, him knowing all things, he's going to get there in time. Help me preach more right now. If you're here and you're wondering, does God know? I didn't send a prayer. He knows your prayer even before you pray it. He's a God that's on his way. You may not feel important like the centurion. She's just a
the house to help somebody that feels like nobody knows.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Glory. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
I've been caught up in studying different books of the Bible in the last month or so. Jude, James, and Genesis. And now I think we can overlook how simplistic God is no respecter.
Uh-huh.
Right.
A person's.
Yeah.
In fact, in James, he tells us it's a sin.
Yes.
You know, to count this man, it looks like because he has clothes and it looks like he's wealthy. Right. And then when somebody comes in no. more poor,
right.
you make a difference.
That's uh-huh. right. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, thank you.
That's a human. Jesus?
No.
Oh,
no difference. Come on, preach.
He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
He's going to help this one that has all kinds of money, but just flip one verse. He's on his way to help somebody that's broke.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. There's no status they have. But Jesus just goes. It's almost like this just comes from my mind. It's almost like Elisha in the Old Testament. The first miracles he helps is three kings. He helps kings. When they go out to battle against Moab and they have no water, he tells them to dig ditches in the valley. He helps kings. But you turn one page over, he's helping a widow.
Yeah.
Glory. He is no respecter of persons. Let me say this. You young people that's listening to me, I hope God touches your heart today. Because you don't know what these young folks are going through.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
I like to see God right now help us grandparents, all right? Come on now. Help us parents. But you don't know what struggles they're going through. God's no respecter of persons. I'm preaching right now. It's like I'm trying to zero in. Who needs this? Who needs this? That's all I'm doing right now. I'm trying to zero in through the inspiration, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Who needs this? Brother, I understand. The Roman centurion is popular. He's got money. He's connected to the elders of the Jews. But there's other people. They have nothing to give. They don't have no name. They're not popular. But Jesus is no respecter of person. You're here today, and Jesus loves you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm almost there. There's a lot to be said here. Bible says that they were carrying out her son, okay? And she is a widow, and much people of the city is with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And I want to say it's like a stretcher. It's the best way I think I should put it in your mind. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He delivered him.
Yes, sir.
Sure, like to see somebody get delivered.
Yeah.
And there came a fear on all, and the glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God had visited his people.
Yes, sir.
He's been visiting Capernaum.
Yeah.
In fact, Mark chapter 2, it was noise that he was in the house.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's time. I don't know if he came to name before. We can qualify things, but I'm closing right now. But he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Notice where she was and where he was at. They're coming out. She's on her way. He had to die that day. Jewish culture says that when they die, they need to be put in the ground. Jesus just walked, in my opinion, 8 hours or longer to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The people was with him the whole way.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't know. And
yes, Lord.
He's on time.
Yes,
Lord. Can we get altar music, please? Is that okay?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many feels the Lord here today?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Have your way, Lord.
I hope it's okay for me to make an altar call.
Yes, sir.
I know one way in my travels I'm more traditional. But in my grown up years, I'm
I'm so glad the church I went to made altar call.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I came to the altar for many reasons. Sometimes I need to come get saved. Sometimes I just knew that preacher preached to me.
Yeah.
And I was going through something. I just needed that preacher preached to me, and I needed to pray about what that preacher preached. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
As a visiting preacher, I want you to feel welcome that you can come to these altars and talk to God.